This is BFBS Esports Live with OJ Borge.
Well, hello and welcome to BFBS Esports Live. Thanks to the Audio Content Fund as always. And here we are for the final show in the series. This is the show that's been dedicated to gaming in the forces, and today's show is the finale. I promised I wouldn't cry. For 12 weeks, we've been chatting to gamers in the forces, those who compete in tournaments, those who play for a bit of fun, or just to make new friends, as well as new gamers who've discovered its benefits regarding staying connected with loved ones. It's clearly been a great tool for positive well-being, and I feel over the course of these 12 weeks, we have done some things right, we've done some things wrong, we've done in the old age, the old saying of we've thrown something viscous at the wall, some of it stuck, and we've enjoyed doing it. I feel we've learned some stuff, and I feel we've got to this point, and it's been great. So, who are we going to chat to on this final show? We're going to chat to one of our good friends, Commander Gordon, Chair of Navy Esports, as well as Group Captain Dan Penta, Chair of RAF Esports, who has the lowdown on the Insomnia Festival that took place a few weeks ago. We didn't chat about the Insomnia Festival last week because we were talking about the Commonwealth Games, so we'll talk about that in a little while. First though, as always, we like to play music because we are live on the radio as well as streaming on Twitch and Facebook at the same time. So let's play some Block Party. This is Flux. This is BFBS, the Forces Station. I'm OJ Borge here with Esports Live. Now, this being the final show, we wanted to do something a bit special. That was, we were going to play games. We were going to play World of Warships. The challenge was set down by Commander Gordon, Chair of Navy Esports. It was set down. Was it like the first or second week, Gordon?
Oh, so we discussed it way back when, when we were just talking about the different games. That must have been the first or second week, yeah. And then, of course, we did the formal challenge just a couple of weeks ago of actually coming forward and doing it. But yeah, it was absolutely. We've been talking about it for as long as the show's been going.
Yeah, we definitely have, and we had this high. We planned it, how we were going to do it, the way it was going to work. We'd looked at all those different things, and then unfortunately, we've had to classify why we've not been able to get hold of the gaming PC at the last minute. So unfortunately, we can't play World of Warships together, which is probably a good thing, Gordon, because I tried it over the weekend. Admittedly, I might have had a couple of glasses of wine when I played it. And it was great to play. It was great fun. It was great to get involved. It was great to try and work out how to manoeuvre the ships and how to fire the guns and how to position myself. But other than that, Gordon, I was pathetic.
I remember when I started playing myself, and actually it's exactly the same for everybody. And I've just finished in a game where I made just a screaming error. And in fact, I've just jumped out of that game to be able to come into this interview with you now. And I just completely messed up some of my angles and my shots. So they still happen now. And it's just one of those things. But it's one of those games, it's really, really easy to just pick up and play. It's very, very difficult to master. And I'm nowhere near mastering it, not even close.
Even though it's almost a busman's holiday for you.
It is, yes. It is a little bit of a busman's holiday, and I'd be really, really sad if the Royal Navy weren't really good at it. But it is just one of those situations that, you know, being in the Navy doesn't necessarily mean you'd be good at World of Warships. And I could go down to the dockyard and find any number of people who wouldn't be very good at it.
But they spend their days on ships. And I guess that's the point, really, that all of these games, and picking up on what you said about it being easy to start playing, that goes across every game, every eSport, the eSports that, you know, we've talked about for the past 11 weeks. They are easy to pick up. They're easy to play. The hard part becomes mastering it, because that's when it comes down to muscle memory. It comes down to understanding what's happening in the games. It comes down to teamwork. It comes down to having a plan and putting that plan into action. And I would guess that is what we've been talking about. That's what is building these teams. That's why eSports has been so great through the forces.
Absolutely. And you've absolutely hit the nail on the head. Every single person can be a gamer. Anyone can pick up a computer, a phone, a console, a controller, a laptop, and be able to be a gamer. But it takes diligence, it takes dedication, it takes effort and commitment to order to be able to master these games, to be able to step up to being, you know, the kind of e-athletes that we saw at the Commonwealth Esports Championships in Birmingham this summer. People representing their nation playing esports, they're the people who have committed effort to being able to become masters or experts, rather, in their field within their chosen dedication. And that's a kind of a skill set that is really, really important to us in the military.
It absolutely is. And I think, you know, even though we're so far down this esports journey, not just these 11 weeks, however many years esports has been around, and you can take it all the way back to the early arcades, we are still at the point where, to people who don't play games, who don't understand esports, you're still having to justify why it's something that is a skill, why it's something that takes dedication, it takes practice, it takes teamwork, it takes all of those critical thinking things which work for people who are in the forces and work for people in their daily lives as well. Do you think we're at the point now where you don't have to have the conversation with people going, yes, people do play computer games, yes, people do play computer games at a high level, yes, people can make careers out of it?
Not quite. I think we're getting very, very close to that. I think we're getting very close to that point of realization. But I think there's a lot of people who still don't quite get it. And I don't think esports has quite tipped that paradigm. And I think the evidence to that is that we had the Commonwealth Esports Championships. We didn't have esports as part of the Commonwealth Games. And those two differences make a, you know, that really subtle difference is the difference between mainstream acceptance and we're edging our way into that mainstream acceptance.
But mainstream acceptance is coming, and I think what you are doing and what Dan's doing as well when we speak to him, and what everyone across the force is doing, is helping that, absolutely helping that.
Yeah.
Now, I do have to ask you, because this, you know, unless you're watching this streaming right now on Twitch or Facebook, this is an audio medium, we're going out on BFBS. I don't know if you could describe the outfit I'm wearing right now. And I do have to say, Gordon, I've been told to say this, I did find this outfit lying around. It definitely wasn't given to me.
So you're wearing what we refer in the Navy as a tropical number three shirt. So a short sleeved, open collar, white shirt with a set of Royal Navy Lieutenant's shoulder boards. So they're black boards with a gold braiding on them, with the circle on them indicates they're from a nation that has got a royal navy of some description, which is what the circle and ring on the boards indicates. And it looks like they're Royal Navy ones, because I can't see any nations' names underneath them, underneath the band, showing that they're something else.
They may or may not definitely be Royal Navy ones from a ship that I definitely don't know either. The problem is, Gordon, and I don't know if I want to go into too much detail with this, but I was also, when I found this outfit lying around, I also found the short shorts to go with it. What's the official name for the short shorts? Because I'm pretty sure you don't call them the naval short shorts.
They're not called the naval short shorts. So they're actually no longer an official uniform. Oh. We got rid of the shorts just a couple of years ago, actually. But those were Royal Navy tropical shorts, tropical whites. And I remember going on my very first deployment, actually standing on the bow of a ship, wearing those shorts and a shirt just like that, and my cap. Going alongside whilst I was supervising one of the working decks of a ship.
Well, it is a wonderful moment. I have to say, these shorts, since the last time I put them on, they've got tighter somehow. I don't know what happened over the last few years, whether they've been shrinking in my wardrobe, but they've definitely got tighter.
They shrink in the wash, definitely.
They do, don't they? They do. I wish I shrunk in the wash. Well, Gordon, listen, it's been great to chat to you. Over these weeks, you have been wonderful. It's great to chat to you. It's been great to chat about the Royal Naval Esports and everything you're doing for the future. We don't have a ton of time right now, but if there was one thing that's coming up that you could point to that's exciting for people to hear right now, what is that one thing?
It's all the opportunities that we've got, and I can't talk about the details of them, because that some of them are so exciting and so super, but it's, if you keep watching this space, you're going to see Royal Navy Esports becoming more and more involved and doing bigger and better things all of the time, and it's going to lead itself right into that question of that mainstream acceptance. You're going to see us doing things that put us right up in front, right in front of the biggest audiences that you get in the country.
It is a great titillation for what's coming up. I mean, what you could do as well, if you want to, I mean, you could wear the outfit I'm wearing right now instead of those lovely esports shirts you've got.
I don't know. We put a lot of effort into producing what is arguably the best esports jersey in the country.
Challenge thrown down. Gordon, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with me.
Always. Thank you very much, OJ.
Thank you, Gordon.
Don't touch the sleeping pills, they mess with my head. Dredging up great white sharks, swimming in the bed. And here comes a killer whale, sing me to sleep, thrashing the car. To
Florence and the Machine and Ship to Wreck. Thank you very much, as always, to Commander Gordon from Navy Esports, who's been wonderful across these 12 weeks. And I have to thank him as well for describing my outfit, because I am indeed in the tropical outfit. And if I was going to theme my outfits to my guests, I would switch now from this into possibly a flight suit, because I'm joined by Group Captain Dan Penter, Director of Astra and Chair of RAF Esports. Dan, is that what I should wear, a flight suit, maybe, if I was gonna theme my outfits to my guests?
Well, I don't know. So it's, I'm not actually a pilot. So I'm an engineer. So perhaps we need to get you in some denims. Get out on the flight line somewhere.
So do you wear denims? Is that what you wear when you're out on the flight line?
Definitely, yeah. It's just for safety. You've got it keeps the grease off you, and it keeps your uniform clean underneath.
I never knew they were denim. I never knew they were made of denim. Anyway, listen, it's the first time we've chatted, Dan. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and spend it with us on this final show. How long have you been with the esports team? What was your background to this, to joining the esports team?
Myself and a chief who worked for me about 3.5 years ago actually started it ourselves, two of us on a Discord in March of 2019, went, hey, let's do it and see what happens. And it kind of exploded rather faster than we expected.
Well, absolutely. Were you playing games before this? What was your interest in esports before you set this up?
Oh, I've been a gamer all my life. Right way back to when I was a school kid, and my grandfather bought home a BBC computer to play brick and ball to learn how to do it as a maths teacher, all the way through university and into the Air Force. I've mostly majored on MMOs throughout my life. And there's a particular game I was playing, I couldn't find anyone to play with me, so I thought, hey, I'll start a club and see what happens. Unfortunately, it's so niche, I still can't find anyone to play with me, but hey, we've got a big club now.
What is your game of choice then? What do you play?
I play Albion Online. It's full loot, PvP, MMO. It's fairly brutal.
It's one of those games, and it is true, I think I was sort of speaking about this to Gordon before, that there still is a misconception of people who are gamers, people who play esports and things like that. Because I, like you, and I would guess we're a similar age, we were brought up through computer games. You know, we were around the earliest games with BBCs, with Amstrads, with Amigas. And it's almost through our lives to the point where when we end up with jobs and we end up with wives and families and we have too many commitments, that's when you start playing online. That's when esports becomes great, because it's a way to still connect with people when you don't actually have the time to see them in the flesh.
There's somewhere in my wife's archives. In fact, fortunately, she's a gamer as well, otherwise I'd never get away with it. But there's a picture of me doing a night feed with my hand on a mouse still playing at 2 a.m.
There is. I think a lot of people listening to this right now will engage with that, especially when you've got new babies, when they need to sleep on you. There's definitely a photo of me lay back with the baby on me. I think I had the feeding pillow around my head, my headset on and a controller in my hand as the baby slept to me. It's a great way to while away the small hours.
Gets you brownie points for doing a night feed as well.
It does. Sometimes you almost sign up for it, don't you? You're like, oh, yeah, I'll take this one. Don't worry about it. And then jump
absolutely.
Online.
Absolutely. Definitely the way forward.
So talk me through the RAF esports team. What are your plans? I asked Gordon before. What are the big things coming up for you guys?
Well, we've got big enough now. We're over 4% of the Air Force, which is a bit of a surprise how quick we've grown. And we're now starting to bring teams through that are actually properly competitive in the amateur scene. Obviously, we just had Insomnia. We had an absolutely fantastic time at Insomnia. We took 6 teams into the Masters and had 5 top 8 finishes, including one teammate to the main stage and got a prize money. So that's for us. That was kind of our target 3 years ago. Went, that's what we'll do, and we've done it. So we kind of feel like we've arrived, really, and getting 70 people there in various different areas over the weekend for us was just brilliant.
Well, I want to talk a bit more about Insomnia, actually. I'm going to play a song in a second. But how would you say your job mixes with esports? Is there something between the two of them? Because I know you work around Astra, you're director of Astra as well. How do those two things gel together, or don't they?
Well, so my day job, I've got a small team. Our job is to communicate Astra about all the different work strands going on across the Air Force. And then my team specifically support grassroots innovation. We do find there's definitely a crossover between some of my star gamers and some of our star innovators. It's just kind of happened that way. Even before I was in my current job, I've only been there a year. So, there's definitely some crossover, particularly in the coding area. I know you've talked to a couple of them through the weeks. Wes Whittle was on a few weeks ago, and he's someone who was found by Astra and by esports almost simultaneously. And then we've kind of made good use of him in various different places in the last couple of years.
So when you're playing online, when you are out and you're fighting, you're taking your teams out, and this is away from the big tournaments, how much are people interested in the RAF and the force themselves and what they are putting into esports?
There's always a bit of surprise and a bit of scepticism. You see military life as being very physical. You expect to see rugby players and football players and all these sort of physical sports. But actually, the high technology kit that all three services have, I mean, the Air Force will tell you you've got the most technologically enabled stuff, but actually, so are the Army and Navy. There's a lot of very high technology things out there. And kids who understand gaming, controllers, hand-eye coordination, all that is really, really valuable to all three services. And people forget that in a high technology environment that gamers have a natural affinity for that. So we do attract people who are gamers. It's just not a natural fit in people's minds always.
I don't know if you found like me as well, that I always thought that I had great reactions. I always felt that I was good at computer games. I always thought that I was really, really good until I came up against people who are younger than me. And then you find that their reactions are so much quicker. They're just so much more adept than we will ever be.
I don't know if Gordon told you, he visited us at Insomnia. I had my kids there, and my youngest was allowed on Fortnite for the first time. And some of the stuff she was pulling off, I have no idea how she did it. I certainly can't. you pull your trigger and you go, I'm there. How did they get that faster than me? I was really fast.
Yeah, I have to start blaming the ping immediately. Oh, the ping's terrible. It's definitely the ping. Let's talk about Insomnia then. You mentioned it before. How did the RAF do overall?
We had a pretty good time, actually. We had two League of Legends teams there. They kind of got fourth and sixth in the group stage. They bombed it in the eliminations, but they still did top eight. We had Rocket League. Rocket League. You spoke to Stelios and Chucky a couple of weeks ago, and they told you that they were going for top eight, and I challenged them to top four. And they did both teams in the top eight, which was fantastic. They got fifth and seventh overall. And some of the competition they were up against included, England and Wales Commonwealth players. So they did really, really well. And then Rainbow Six, it was a small field, only four teams, but they came second overall, got a main stage finish, which was kind of what we really wanted was a main stage finish that wasn't something we were doing as a show. And of course, there was the stage show against the Army. And I know you've met Ace a couple of times over this series. So he mentored me for my first live casting experience live on stage. So go look at either the Army or the Air Force Twitch channels to see some recordings of that.
How was that for you? If it was the first time, how was it for you on a stage in front of an audience?
I loved it. I'm not sure if they've told you, my gamer chat is Max Chat, my gamer tag. Yeah. And there's a reason for that. So I just sat there and talked for 2 hours. It was brilliant.
Listen, if you can fill time, you'll always do well as a caster, because there will always be downtime. Somebody will always break a computer. There's always going to be moments where you have to fill it in. So we are running out of time. So I just want to ask one more question. What is the next thing for you? What does not just the RAF, but the forces need to do to really, really grab hold of esports?
So all three services are looking at how we get esports arenas and our various types of base. That will really open up the aperture for some of the welfare angle, getting people into an environment where they can talk to other gamers, as well as being online. We are fortunate to have got a sponsor about a month or so ago, and we're in talks with them about whether they can help us have pop-up LANs around the Air Force. If that comes off, then maybe RAF LAN will be the next thing, where we get an internet-enabled LAN pop-up across the whole of the Air Force. I tend to dream as big as I can and see how far they get, and they constantly surprise me by exceeding it. So something like that. And we'll probably do some long streams. Charity streams tend to be a thing in the autumn. There'll be a couple of them, I'm sure.
Well, I'll be tuning in. Thank you so much for joining me, Group Captain Dan. It's been great to chat to you. I love the idea that you're the Max Chat man. I love that. Dan, thank you so much. That brings us to the final song. All of our interviews are done. This final episode is rolling towards a conclusion. The next song was made famous by a popular game that was also turned into a film. What game was it?
Hey, yo, Jim, man, why don't you kick some of that, You know how you do it, man. It's a trip. People don't even believe we're together right now. But tell your story. You know the one I like. Right. Say it, buddy.
Right. Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born. Into this world we're thrown. Like a dog without a bone. And
There's a killer on the road. His brain is squirming like a toad. Take a long holiday. Let your children play. If you give this man a ride, sweet family will die. Killer on the road. Yeah.
Going off of this, going off of that. With the Lizard King bumping in the back. How about that? Drifting, lifting, swifting, coasting, testa roasting. But the wheels won't stop. 200 on the highway, fresh up off the block. He's a rider, nah, he's a killer. Dressed in all black, but his hat says Stella. Pedal to the metal. I gotta go hard, drive by and say hello. Hey, Fred Wreck, you my mellow. Now let me hear what I sound like a cappella. Roll, ride, dip, sweat. Now bring it back, just like this. Like a dog, without his bone. Or like a G, without his chrome. Hard to imagine the homie dog in the jag and he checking for the checkered flag. Coming in first, never in last, cause my car too fast. I never ever run out of gas, cause I'm just too clean. I do it upper class. So fast in your seatbelts, it's so hot it'll even make heat melt. So get aboard and roll and ride, slip through the
like
storm.
Like a dog without a bone, an actor out alone, riders on the storm. There's a killer on the road. His brain is squirming like a toad. Take a long holiday. Let your children play. If you give this man a ride, sweet family will die.
Do you know, I don't remember that from the game. I really don't remember it from the game. It was, of course, Riders on the Storm, the Fred Wreck remix, made famous by Need for Speed Underground 2, the Need for Speed games. Were, of course, made into films as well, or at least one film. And that is it. That's all we've got time for from this final episode of Esports Live. Thank you so much for being part of it. Thank you as well to all of our guests that we've had across the last 12 weeks. Special thanks to Commander Gordon and Group Captain Dan for joining me on this show. I do want to say thank you to Lucas and to Steve. You've kept the show on the road for the 12 weeks they've been doing it, making sure I didn't do anything too stupid. Why did you let me put this outfit on? Because believe me, I need to get these shorts off before they explode. Definitely wasn't given this by anyone in the forces. Found it. Who knows what happened in the future? Make sure you keep checking out with all of the esports that the forces are doing. I've been OJ Borge. Thank you for listening and watching this special esports live show for BFBS. Thanks as always to the Audio Content Fund. Who knows? Maybe we'll see you soon.
On air, online, on the app,
on FM,
and DAB Plus throughout the UK. This is BFBS, the Forces Station.